You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Screen Heroes. I'm Ray. I am once again joined by my favorite co-hosts, Ryan.
Hi.
And Derek.
Yo.
How are you?
Good.
How are
Pretty
you?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, things are good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're like 10 seconds in, no technical issues yet.
Whew.
So that's good.
It's a Christmas miracle.
In February.
Derek's used to 3D printing and having a technical issue every 8 seconds.
In all fairness, one out of four podcasts have a technical issue that poor Derek is not responsible for.
Which one is it this week?
It's a month. Every month we have one that has something.
Podcasting on a budget. Hey, before we kick things off, since this show and the entire Heroes Podcast Network is from Kansas City.
No, not
just
the entire Heroes Podcast Network.
The network is from Kansas City. We do have, okay, so there's 9 people on the
Did
network.
Did you put water in my tea?
Oh, it was tea. There wasn't much left in the glass. I apologize.
Wow.
I did. That happened. Anyway.
That is a shock.
That is a shock.
I'm sorry. So there's 9 of us who currently work on the Heroes Podcast Network. 6 currently live in the greater Kansas City metro. 7 of us are from at least Kansas City. So,
and only 1 of us actually lives in Kansas City.
That's not true. That's probably true.
It is true.
It might be true. I don't really know. I don't pay attention. But either way, I just wanted to say
the Chiefs won the Super
congratulations to the Chiefs on winning Super Bowl 54, and congratulations specifically to Andy Reid, who I am very happy to have finally seen get a Super Bowl title, championship, ring, win. It's awesome. I'm very happy for him. And so I just wanted to throw that out there and say that. And now we can move on to the show. Ray, what are we doing this week on Screen Heroes?
So we are, I let Ryan pick the topic. He suggested.
This one wasn't even one that I like. You were like, Ryan, why don't you pick a topic? Because you never do that. And like, you could have one this year. I was just like, you know what? Let's just do this thing. And
yeah.
Rachel was like, anytime I throw out a topic, she's like, oh yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
I don't do it very often. So.
It's true. So most of our schedule is dictated by the movie reviews we feel obligated to review to see. And so we just kind of fill in the blanks on places that we don't. And this year, I've kind of taken a step back and being so demanding with the schedule. And anytime Derek or Ryan are like, hey, we should do this, I'm like, okay. It's on there.
Yeah, she's usually a little more excited than that, but okay. we'll take it.
To be fair, usually this is through like messenger chat, so we don't really know how excited she is.
No, but I mean, in my head, she's very excited. Anytime I suggest something.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have to keep a really close eye on our schedule here because, so this is episode 190, and if we're not careful, the New Mutants review will be episode 200, and I will be very sad if that's our 200th episode. So we got to be very careful.
What if it's a great movie?
I don't want that. All right. I don't want to take that chance.
What if it's a great movie?
I refuse to take that risk.
I mean, it can't be worse than Wrinkle in Time, right?
Oof.
I mean, I've seen worse movies than A Wrinkle in Time.
Right, but have we reviewed worse than that?
I don't think so. That's fair.
Hellboy was probably close, but
I'd much rather watch Hellboy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. All right, so then let's do news. You want to do news first?
I didn't say what we were actually
doing. Oh, you never
got
to it?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You just kind of took over.
Classic Derek.
Okay, so Ryan read this horrible Screen Rant article and was like, we should do this. So we are discussing the cutest creatures in film and television. And we haven't been able to come up with a reasonable definition of the word creature for everybody.
Yeah, so I think we're all just kind of
we're just going off of what's cute, what we find cute, and you guys can tell us if we're wrong or not.
But just in film?
No. And TV.
I literally asked you this morning.
No, we both said film and TV. From the very beginning.
I only have a couple on TV. I could get rid of that. That's fine.
I clarified this
morning.
No.
Some of mine are on TV, so we're not getting rid of
fine.
That.
That's fine.
Is there some from TV you want to add?
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Go for it.
Yeah, okay.
Go for it.
Right, I will.
Okay.
I will.
We still have news to do.
We
calm
do.
Down,
All right.
guys.
Let's do it.
All right. So, cool stuff about Super Bowl had some fun spots for movies and shows.
Besides those, did you guys have a favorite commercial?
Walmart.
Walmart had a really good commercial.
Yeah, I really
they
like
can't afford to give reasonable health benefits or raises to their
but
employees.
But they can pay
but
for
can
all those licenses.
Pay for so many licenses for a 30-second spot, plus the cost of the actual commercial.
Yeah. No, my favorite commercial was actually the Groundhog Day commercial.
Yeah.
With Bill
the
Murray.
Biggest
the
biggest
surprise
of the Super Bowl, beyond the Chiefs win even, was how they got Bill Murray to actually show up on set for a Jeep commercial.
Yep.
I mean, come on, it was perfect.
Doing a sequel,
right,
like
to Groundhog Day on Groundhog Day for the Super Bowl. I'm sure he got paid a pretty penny.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're already spent.
They backed up a Jeep full of money to his house, I'm sure.
I mean, I didn't time the commercial, but
a long one.
A 1 minute commercial cost over $12 million.
Yeah, it was an average of $6 million, I think, for a 30 second spot.
A little under. It was a little under that. It was like 5.7 or something. So this was at least $12 million as far as commercials go. I'm not sure, but I'm sure he got paid a nice amount for that. And come on, it's not like he had to do much.
What about you, Rachel? Did you have a favorite? Outside of movie trailers,
I'm really upset about how much I liked the Boston smock
with Chris Evans.
Yeah,
yeah, that one was pretty funny.
It's hilarious because just like the night before, two nights before, I suggested to Derek an SNL sketch where it's an infomercial and a couple is just sitting down watching TV and they can't understand a thing. So they have an app on their phone that translates like Jersey. It's called the Jersey filter. And I was like, and new, the Boston filter. There's the smot pock. And
what did you think of the Jason Momoa commercial?
That was my favorite one. It was the Jason Momoa commercial.
I thought it was funny. I don't know why people are like freaking out about it. I thought it was hilarious.
That's what I feel like when I take my Shazam costume off. All my muscles are all of a sudden gone. And
here's the big
off.
Problem with that commercial, though. I actually don't remember what it was a commercial for. Does anybody remember what?
It was a mortgage, Rocket Mortgage.
Was it Rocket Mortgage? Okay, see, I couldn't even remember. And that's not a good sign of a commercial, right?
No, but you can remember the commercial, so that's what really matters, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the big thing for us to talk about then was the trailer for
the Marvel shows.
The Marvel shows, all of them that are coming out in the near future. So any favorite moments?
They've been recording Loki for like 2 days at that point, and they still managed to show something from it, so that was surprising. But I mean, I'm most pumped for WandaVision in terms of like shows, but I think seeing the stuff from Falcon and Winter Soldier was really cool too. Mm. Seeing US Agent and
Baron Zemo.
Zemo, but without his mask. I want to see the mask.
I know, I do too.
You know, wondering how Falcon all of a sudden got strong enough to throw a shield into a tree.
He's been practicing this whole
time. But that doesn't, I mean, I don't think it's a skill-based thing. Maybe for the accuracy, but like,
maybe it's just the shield. The shield already does things that it shouldn't be able to
maybe
do.
Maybe he's taking roids.
Maybe.
Like,
or they gave
Stallone
him Super Soldier Serum. I'm guessing in the first episode there's a throwaway line explaining how he's strong enough to throw the shield. And I'm betting it's something like Derek's talking about where like there's Asgardian technology or a spell or something on the shield that makes it able to penetrate things a normal man can't.
I'm just saying like the way Cap throws the shield, it still does things that have nothing to do with
his
strength.
Right, he has super, but being able to penetrate into something is pretty much a purely a strength.
That is, but I think they could explain it away with it being just something special about the shield.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the shield, we don't know what its history is because his got broken during the fight with Thanos, and this is one that he just showed up with at the end of Endgame, and it's different.
Is it different than the one he gave back to him at the end of the movie?
No. The one that he gave Falcon at the end of the movie is this is the same shield, but we don't know where it came from.
The past.
We don't know if it's an alternate timeline or anything like that. I mean, we know it came from somewhere. It is kind of funny to me to think about Cap stealing a shield from himself.
What?
Nothing. You guys just get into these things, and I like to make weird eyes at the camera when you do it. Nobody's watching us, so it doesn't matter, but still, it's just funny. They do this over the internet, too. Like, these conversations are also in written form.
But in written form, I usually just decide I'm not going to argue with Derek because there's really no point because he's never wrong in his mind. So I just stop responding or give an emoji and that's it.
So WandaVision did some interesting stuff.
WandaVision looks insane. So it looks like it's going to mimic multiple family sitcoms throughout the last, I guess, throughout the age of television since the 1950s. And
including Full House, which is a fun homage to her sisters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I missed the Full House one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one that is clearly based off Full House. And I'm sure, I hope they go a little deeper with that just to like, it's a weird coincidence, you know?
The more meta the sitcom parts are, the better, in my opinion.
And it makes, I mean, the whole thing is, you know, in her mind, so why wouldn't it be, you know, more ridiculous and meta?
I mean, the more I see from it, the more interesting it certainly looks, right? I'm very excited to kind of see how they make all of this coherent for a viewer. I'm looking forward to it.
And she's been dropping all kinds of information about it. Like, you find out how she's going to get the nickname Scarlet Witch. She's wearing the red uniform from the comics.
It's clearly a Halloween costume. It's going to be like the Luke Cage thing. Where
something,
he shows up in the yellow shirt with the, like, manacles or whatever they are in the headband.
The tiara.
And they make fun of him for it. And that's basically what this is going to be, too. So everybody's all excited about that.
No,
it's clearly like a Walmart Halloween costume.
No, she's not like really wearing it. Right. That's not like her normal.
Anyone that has a cape that like has a tie right here, like a Ruby's Halloween costume.
Yeah, that's not. But still.
It is cool to see, I guess, if you're a big Scarlet Witch fan.
And there are two cribs indicating her two children with Vision, Speed, and Wiccan.
And she is also pregnant in the one shot. So.
So I had a question posed to me today, because I don't really know the Marvel side as well from the comics. So I know that she has the two kids. In the comics, they are with Vision.
Yeah.
She wills them into existence. It's not.
Is that
like,
how it works? She just uses the reality abilities that she has to create them.
She basically manipulates reality into creating them. I read a lot about this after Rachel and I talked about it the other day.
So are they like biologically Vision's kids? Or
they have her DNA in them.
Do they have his DNA?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Does he have DNA? I don't know.
I don't know.
She willed it into existence. So if in her mind she's willing it to be the son or sons of her and Vision, then I'm assuming that that's probably the case.
Okay.
That was a weird question. I mean, he's an android, so
it's
hard to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of Easter eggs in Wanda Vision just in those few clips that we saw. And then the small bit from Loki, he is obviously captured by what is essentially Marvel's like time police and
the Legends of Tomorrow.
It's the TVA, and I forgot what it stands for. The first word is time, but they're basically the time police, and
it's like Time Variance Association
or
something like
that sounds about right. And clearly he's created alternate timelines, and he's saying he's gonna burn it all to the ground and
all the timelines.
Yeah.
Good lord.
So
ambitious.
I mean, in Endgame, they created alternate timelines.
Right.
Nobody seemed to care then.
Right. So Falcon and the Winter Soldier is going to lead into probably some of the more normal movies, I guess. Like, it's not going to lead into Eternals. It's not going to lead in maybe Spider-Man.
Do you think
I don't know.
Do you think that maybe U.S. Agent is actually going to be the villain at the very end and, like, I know he's clearly going to be like a.
Oh, he's not a great
foil
guy.
Right. He's like, going to be clearly a foil to the two of them. But do you think he's going to end up like. I know they've said Zemo's the villain, but I mean, it's
possible. Yes, I expect U.S. Agent to be the bad guy at some point. He's not just going to be.
Do you think he's
going to
be like the bad guy behind Zemo?
No. Okay. I think he's more of the muscle.
I actually hope that like neither of them are working together, because like 6 hours of television, there should be more than
that's
guy.
Fair.
Like, I mean, that was our biggest complaint with the Marvel Netflix shows, is that, you know, one bad guy for 13 episodes is boring.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm with
six,
you.
I'd be okay with probably if it was a really compelling villain.
Yeah.
Which I think U.S. Agent has the ability to be.
And Zemo does too, if they really play both of them right. So
I don't
know
as much about Zemo, but.
That's fair. And then WandaVision and Loki both lead into Doctor Strange 2, which comes out next year. So
I think Wanda is going to be the villain of that show. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Wanda's
her own worst.
Yeah.
Which I think is super compelling. I'm very
that
excited.
And, you know, her family. Yeah.
So Captain Falcon and the Winter Soldier is slated for August, and WandaVision is slated for December.
Mm-hmm.
So those will both hit this year, and then Loki is spring 2021.
And they also released a I think, a release month for Mandalorian also.
October
2020?
Yep.
Mandalorian season 2.
Nice. Yeah, so we knew it was going to be the fall.
They've got to be pretty far along in production, I would think, to be able to...
Well, the positive thing is the way they film Mandalorian is really, really cool. It's a new concept, and it's very reusable. So they don't have to rebuild a lot of physical sets, even though there's a lot of physical components involved. And
I was more thinking of visual effects and things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, prosthetics for aliens aren't cheap or quick to make. And the actual VFX.
Well, so the VFX stuff is really interesting because all the environmental stuff is being helped with by AI.
Right.
And
I was
more
talking about the actual visual effects on characters and ships and things like that rather than.
Well, I guess it depends how much there will be.
Sure.
You know, the first season didn't have like a ton of aliens. You know, the most that we saw were in, you know, stormtrooper gear. So.
Season 2 of The Witcher is going to drop January 2021.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to toss a coin to Netflix and watch it?
We watched the first episode.
Toss a coin to somebody.
First episode's watched.
I'll warn you that you never get to see naked Henry Cavill, and it's really disappointing.
I know.
It's actually really distracting.
He's not going to do that.
Because there's several scenes where you can tell they filmed it going, man, there was a negotiation somewhere that they could not get him to take his pants off. Because there's some shots where it's like his butt is clearly supposed to be the focus, and he had pants on for some reason in a scene that didn't necessarily make sense that way. So... I'm not saying because I want to see Henry Cavill's ass. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But
I mean, I'm curious.
Well, we're going to be talking about The Witcher on Ray's podcast series, Spellbound.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's my next.
Are you
show.
Talk about how freaking confusing it is because there's seven different timelines going on at the same time. And they don't give anything to differentiate any of them.
Yes,
half the characters don't age at all, so you can't tell it by the character's age.
It's true.
Anyway.
Ray has to help me through it, so
yeah.
We'll get there.
So confusing.
My thing is with the show, the mumble speak that they do in fantasy nowadays, like I am perfectly fine of hearing. I don't need captions. Why are you making me use captions? Just enunciate more.
Do you like Henry Cavill's voice that
I
he
do.
Did for it? I actually thought it was really, really good.
I think it's pretty, like, it's pretty great. It's kind of how I've always heard Geralt in my head. Now, I've only read the books. I haven't played the games, so that's different for me. But
it's a great gig for him too, because he doesn't have to do like any emotion really at all the entire time. It's kind of like Arnold getting the first Terminator movie, you know. All he has to do is be stoic the whole time.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's Geralt. Everybody else around him is the emotional type,
and he has a good range, I'm sure. Yeah. Cavill does, but I mean, this is an easy gig for him. He's just got to do a gravelly voice and wear a wig.
So the hard thing for me in the first episode, we had to stop and put the subtitles on because there are so many proper nouns being used by people who are speaking in their breathiest voice possible that I was having a really hard time picking
there
up
are
names.
Some breathy voices. Yeah, there are some breathy voices going on,
so that was helpful, but yeah. You know. All right, so moving on then, we'll continue down the Disney trend, I guess, a bit. We can talk about the Lion King controversy at a school. So I just want to throw this out there because I'm more upset with whoever the narc is in this story than with the licensing companies. But there is a school that showed the new Lion King remake, whatever, at a fundraising activity. And somebody told somebody, and they were fined $250, which I guess is what it costs to show The Lion King in a setting like that, because they were also told if they ever want to do it again, it'll be another $250. So I guess that's just the fee for that, even though they owned somebody use their personal copy. And you know, I get it, you have to enforce licensing, so I'm not as frustrated with the licensing company, which is not directly Disney that handles this. But I want to know who went to a public school fundraising event, looked at the PTA and thought, I'm gonna throw these guys under the bus.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened, and the PTA has to cover the $250.
At a fundraising thing, like, clearly they need funds,
right?
What are you doing?
Where's the line? Like, because I've seen Walmart show the new Lion King movie and have it playing on all the, not like a cut trailer or anything, the entirety of the movie playing on all their TV displays.
In the store?
In the store.
I assume that that's part of the contract to sell the film. you know, or crazy. Something along those lines. I mean, I don't know. That's a guess on my part. Weird. Right. Because I know that people do that, right? Target does that too. It's a, you know, I don't know, but I assume that they have the permission to do so. Otherwise they would just get fined every day. Right.
Yeah. Or maybe nobody's narking on them.
I mean, maybe, but it seems less likely that someone would narc on a public school fundraising sure. activity, right? Because it's not like someone's monitoring that, right? I'm sure Disney actually sends people into stores. When you guys were in elementary
school, didn't they show popular movies every once in a while? Like,
well, we watched them in class,
right?
But
that's
they were
what
always
I'm
educational in nature. Like, we watched Glory.
No, you
we
never
watched
saw
Gettysburg.
Like your teachers never showed a fun movie just for a day. Like
my Spanish
maybe it's
teacher,
a half day, or you're hungover or something.
My Spanish teacher would show us Disney and Pixar films in Spanish because she thought that would help us like translate the language better because we were familiar with the films. And then around Christmas, we would watch a handful of Christmas movies, even though it was public school, like A Christmas Story. And,
he's not bitter at all, guys.
some other, I can't remember the other ones. I always watched A Christmas Story because that was like the least bang it over your head kind of movie that we had as an option. So,
all right. But, yeah, my school showed popular movies all the time in class and at events. So,
well, they're going to get fined. So,
we
you
had,
just narked on your whole
Disney,
district.
Disney's going to hunt them down now.
We had movie nights like once a month in the gymnasium.
Maybe because those don't raise money. Maybe because this was a fundraiser.
Oh, no, it cost. Like, it would cost us a couple dollars. We'd bring in, like, a blanket, and we'd get a little sleeve of popcorn, and we'd watch movies.
Don't know. Okay. But somebody decided to tell on these poor people. So,
yeah, that's horrible.
I just wanted to talk about that for a minute. You guys want to talk about Rick Moranis a little bit?
So rumor has it he is reportedly coming out of retirement for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids extension, reboot, sequel, whatever you want to say. And that's all the information we have. We have no idea for how big of the role it is, if it's a cameo or if it's like a huge part, how much they offered him. But
if it's coming out of retirement, that would imply something a little more than a cameo, because I mean,
He's done a few cameos.
He cameoed in the Goldbergs as Dark Helmet, if I remember right.
Did he? Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to find that
and,
episode.
It was great. And, you know, he's done a couple other things. So, I mean, if that wasn't considered coming out of retirement, apparently, because that wasn't, I mean, it was news, but it wasn't news like the ones that we've been seeing. So I assume it's more than just that. But who knows? I mean, everybody's trying to get those clicks, so.
I don't know. Maybe. And so you had Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and then it was Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
And then Honey, I Shrunk Ourselves.
So maybe this one will be like Honey, I Shrunk
Ourselves and the Kid.
I Shrunk Your Parents, and he's talking to his grandchildren. Because there's rumors that Josh Gad is going to be playing Rick Moranis' character's son in this movie, right? So he could be talking to the grandkids and say, I Shrunk Your Parents. And then you can kind of keep the trend of those different titles. And have it be a different group that gets shrunk by a different group.
All I can say is that I was a huge Rick Moranis fan when I was a kid. I watched like most of his films because he did family friendly movies, and he was just, you know, best
and a
part.
Lot of them were just straight up classic movies.
They were.
I mean,
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is fantastic.
So good.
I love that movie.
Have you ever felt so emotional over an aunt's death since then? Like, yeah. I haven't.
That was... Yeah, man.
No, not even that. It wasn't as
wasn't
well
the same.
Done as
wasn't the same.
Auntie.
I still step on ants.
That's kind of mean.
They're just doing their job, man.
You don't know that.
I do.
All right.
I'm their god.
Let's move on. Okay, so we've been talking news for a little while. Do we have any other news things that we would like to cover before we move on to our main topic?
I don't think so. All the other Super Bowl trailers, like Fast and Furious 9 or Black F9 Widow. And Black Widow or whatever, they're all available for you guys to go check out.
Widow didn't really show anything new.
Yeah. Han's
there was
back.
Actually the shield kick thing that he clearly learned from Cap, because that's his whole thing, was cool. So,
yeah,
but I think that was really the only new footage that I noticed. There might have been some other small snippets. But
Rachel Weisz is like almost 50, guys. Just saying.
Yeah.
Like,
Speaking of the Fast and the Furious thing, though, so
Han's back.
Yeah, Han is back. So the whole Justice for Han movement, Han is back. And so this sparked a trend of Han is alive on Twitter, which made a bunch of Star Wars fans think that Han Solo was alive. And then they were really disappointed when it was a guy in the Fast and the Furious movies. But me, as someone who stopped watching the Fast and the Furious movies after number 7, now has to consider going back and finding out how Han is alive in the 9th film.
I guess their marketing worked.
Yeah. Yeah. It very well may have. I mean, maybe they just know that 7 and 8 were that terrible. They're like, well, we got to give people a reason to come back and keep making $1 billion. So we'll just bring Han back.
Unless we're reviewing it, I can tell you that I'm not saying that.
That's fine.
So stay tuned for our review of F9.
Wouldn't be the first time I've done that for you guys.
We have never reviewed a Fast and the Furious movie on this podcast. True. But I did drag Ray to Furious 7, so I feel like it's only fair to make you watch one of them.
Why? I'm not married to you.
Really, yet. Though?
I mean...
What?
Apparently, your marriage is expanding, Rachel.
All right.
I did not consent to
this. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we will be talking about the cutest creatures on screen.
Recently, on the Heroes Podcast Network, Echo Station.
Well, what's the main what's the main planet that Endor... The forest moon of Endor. It's a moon. So there's a major planet, obviously, that it...
Is the forest moon of Endor? Is Endor the actual planet, then?
See, isn't that confusing? Yes. Is it the forest moon of the planet Endor, or is it the forest moon called Endor?
Kaiju Curry House.
It got to the point where he started climbing the Empire State Building, and my mom is like, he's not gonna die, is he?
Oh, no.
My mom doesn't know shit about these films, but anyways, it was just like... Mom, this doesn't end well for Kong. And she's just like, I can't watch the rest of this. Turn it off. I'm like, you can't get to this point in Peter Jackson's King Kong 2 hours and like whatever many minutes later and not watch the end.
Screen Heroes.
The nipples just were confusing to me because they just make no sense.
That is our clip, by the way.
But I mean, male nipples are kind of confusing anyway. So,
right? Like, well, they serve zero purpose.
Do you think that was the point he was trying to make?
It's a much deeper message. Yes.
Is Batman and Robin a heavily
an allegory,
social allegory?
Yeah.
Subscribe today at heroespodcast.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Podcast Addict, and more.
All right, we are back. So, Ray, why don't you tell people how we're going to be handling today's topic?
Well, Derek, it's like we handle every other topic.
Just going to fly by the seat of our pants and hope that there's a podcast at the end?
We just go, man.
It's possible we have a new listener joining us this week.
Yeah, totally.
You never know. We have ones of listeners out there.
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Okay. So you go first. Who is your first nomination for the cutest creature ever on film?
All right. Well, I feel like I should just get a really easy one out of the way that is probably on all three of our lists so we can just move on. And that's Gizmo from Gremlins.
That's not on my list.
Really?
Mogwai in general are, yes. Because I also think Daffy and some of the other ones are cute.
Spike is pretty cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Gizmo was on my list. But yeah, Mogwai, that's fine. For obvious reasons, they're cute and fuzzy unless, you know, you don't listen to the rules that don't quite make any sense.
They're non-satanic Furbies.
I do wish there was a little more lore to them. You know, you don't really find out much about where they came from or what they are.
Hey, we've got good news for you, Ryan. There's a cartoon coming that's a prequel to the original Gremlins.
But they're probably going to be super ambiguous about the lore anyway, and they really don't know anything at the end.
Well, it's like, how do you... do East Asian lore when you have a bunch of white people writing it?
I mean, like, they've been doing it for, you know, 70 years, so I'm pretty sure that they'll find a way.
Yes. And you know, it'll go one of two ways, inappropriate or, you know, fine.
I do think that Daffy from the new batch, I can't remember which one he's from, but the really doofy looking one is severely underrated in terms of cute creatures. I think Daffy was his name.
I don't remember. I can see the one that
wonky eyes, yeah. And like, yeah.
I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
But I can definitely picture him.
He's, I think he's severely underrated. Gizmo's great, of course, but, yeah. You know.
You named our dog Gizmo.
I did name my dog Gizmo, along with, like, half the world that named their creature Gizmo. So.
It's true.
But, yeah, I think.
My favorite gremlin is from the second one, the one who learns to talk, and he goes on the news and everything.
Oh, yeah, the smart gremlin.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
okay.
Guys are cute.
Next up, guys.
All right, Ryan, you go.
I'm going to get one out of the way for Derek.
Oh, yeah?
Porthos from Enterprise.
Really? He's just a dog.
But he's a very cute dog.
Sure.
That travels through space.
I didn't think we were supposed to pick like actual living creatures.
They're cute, aren't they?
All right.
And it's from sci-fi.
Okay.
And he's exploring new planets with his master.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. He's cute. Right? Do you not find him cute?
No, Porthos is great. I love Porthos.
Well, then what's your problem?
Though number one definitely gives him a run for his money.
I haven't watched it, so.
Picard's new dog.
What about Spot? Does Spot give him a run for his money?
Spot, you never really get to see much of Spot. Spot's usually just around. Data holds him in really weird ways. He meows a few times. Worf's awkward with him.
So Porthos wins that,
so,
argument.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I mean, what do you say about a beagle that flies in space?
Yeah, the Star Trek's first dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was, I'm pretty sure you might be able to correct me on this, but I'm pretty sure that sometimes he was the first one to leave, like, the shuttlecraft when they landed on new planets.
Because he would run out into the grass and everything. It was adorable.
Yeah. So, I mean, technically, he's, like, the first explorer of all these planets.
That's a good point, actually. So. Yeah. That's a good point. I like that. I never thought about it that way.
Exactly.
Ray, what about you?
All right. So my first up is, dang it, my list locked out. I'm going to go with Falcor.
It's a good one. The Luck Dragon.
Yeah. I love Falcor so much. I am in awe of what it took to build that puppet, that set. And he was just so wonderful.
Yeah. As a kid. Everything really came together for that creature. I really believe that that was a real creature. And I don't know if it was just like the way it was, not animated, but the way it moved, or if it was the voice or the eyes, because the eyes are really what sells a creature in movies and TV, if you ask me. That's why most of the creatures that we have on our list probably have huge eyes, because...
Like, as a kid, I just think he's like this fuzzy flying dog. And then I get older and I watch the movie more and I see that he's got these beautiful pearlescent scales and you see him way more detail that went into it.
And his laugh is so soulful and his voice is just in general like really comforting.
When he tries to get the itch behind his ear and he can't quite reach it.
It reminds you of your dog. Yeah.
I never really thought about him as cute. I love him. He's one of my favorite characters.
Oh no, I've always found him cute.
He's great. Yeah.
All my stuff, except for, like, maybe one, is going to be, like, super furry and big eyes. And
yeah, that's the thing. Like, the thing that makes a creature cute, when you start looking for it, big eyes is, like, 95% of the time.
It's true.
I mean.
It's true.
Yeah.
Derek?
Well, then I'll go in the opposite direction. I was going to save this one to space it out a bit from Ryan's pick. But since you're talking about the big eyes, I'll just get rid of this one. And this is Tribbles. From Star Trek.
They have zero.
Like the most adorable creature in Star Trek across
the
board.
Are they, though?
I mean, people are like enamored with them.
I mean, I'm sure you guys looked up lists of cutest sci-fi creatures as well. They're at the top of a bunch of people's lists, and I really don't get it. It looks like a cotton ball or a hairball. Like, there's nothing cute about it.
Well,
it's like what you pull out of your drain.
In the lore, in universe, the purring sounds that they make actually have a soothing effect on most like biological creatures like us, unless you're Klingon. They don't like the Klingons. In fact, the Klingons are very proud of their war against the Tribbles, where they destroyed the Tribble homeworld.
That part makes it better, yeah.
That's canon, by the way.
It is actually kind of funny how they... handled the Tribbles, because what could have been the absolute cheapest day on set for just one Tribble ended up probably being the worst day for the costume designers, because you know they had to make those instead of like prop guys. Yeah. So I think that, I mean, and now with the Trouble with...
The Trouble with Edward.
Edward. Yeah, those were done, like, mostly digitally, I bet. But, you know, back in the 60s for the first couple episodes that did this. Yeah.
Well, so if you haven't seen the Short Treks episode, The Trouble with Edward, and you like Tribbles at all, I highly recommend it.
Oh my God, it's so much fun.
Because it's pretty great and pretty kind of far out there. And it's short. It's only like nine minutes or something. All right, Ryan, you're up.
Okay, I'm going to go a little more obscure here. Puck Marin from Flight of the Navigator.
He was on my short list.
Yeah. The if you don't know the name, it's the little like bat looking kind of creature that had like a hand foot that would hang from the like branch and have the berries that were bigger than its head that it ate. The last of its species, which was very sad.
I love it.
But he was very cute. And even today, when I think about Flight of the Navigator, that's the one creature I think of more than anything else, even more than like the whatever the one, Max, is that the name of the robot?
Is that the robot's name? The robot's first, like, that's what the first image that pops in my head, but I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I thought it was Max or something, but yeah, the little bat gerbil is the first thing I think of. But again, big eyes and, you know, cool. The design was really cool with like the, I don't know, chameleon foot kind of thing that it hung from the branch. I don't know.
You're describing it in ways that have never occurred to me.
But wonderful. They all make sense, right?
It's so good. So good.
Yeah.
Classic movie.
Yeah. I mean, the movie is actually not that great when you go back and watch it as an adult, but a lot of the creature design and things like that are really good.
I mean, it was an early 80s movie, right? First half of the 80s?
I don't think it was 80s. I think it was 90s.
Was it? Feels like 80s.
Does it? I mean, sure. Yeah, I guess some of the spirit is there for that. I don't know. I'd have to look it up, but...
Ray.
Okay. So I'm going to go with TV this time, and I'm going to talk about the one thing on my list that's not, like, furry, and that's the adipose from Doctor Who. It is from a 10-episode, Tenet, and he's with Catherine Tate's character, and there's this new pill that people are taking for weight loss. You take it at night, and when you wake up in the morning, you are visibly smaller. Like, you've lost weight while you're sleeping, right? Here's the thing. Somebody took too much and just, like, dissolved into little fat creatures. The fat creatures are the adipose, and they are cute little chunks of white fat with big eyes and a cute little mouth, and you're only supposed to take like one pill so you lose one little fat guy. But yeah, your fat falls off and becomes sentient, and it's really silly. It's just
It sounds terrifying. I don't
No, the adipose are really cute. Google it right now. They're adorable.
I'm good. I'll look later.
I'll show you a picture. Yeah, I love the adipose. They're hilarious.
Okay.
So your turn, Derek.
My turn.
Yep.
All right. So I'm going to throw this one out there because I doubt this is on anybody else's list, but I always really loved them and thought they were great, and it's Station from Bill and Ted.
Ugh.
No?
No.
You don't like Station?
They're not cute.
I always really liked them. I thought they were really cool and fun and adorable, and I hope they return for the third movie. But no, Ryan's giving me a weird look too. Just
I'm
me?
Good.
Okay. All right. A little out there for that one.
So why do you think they're cute?
Something about like the way their heads are shaped and everything. It's the really big mouths and stuff, and just like the fact that they're like kind of connected to each other, but they're like super highly intelligent, and I don't know. There's something about them that I always thought was really cool. Yeah, the adipose, that's kind of creepy. It's like a living potato.
I've seen plushies of them before, I knew what they were, but I didn't know the backstory.
Yeah, it's whatever, you guys.
All right, Ryan.
All right, I'm going to go with one that's probably a little controversial because I don't know if it falls right into our description here. Johnny Five from Short Circuit.
So he was on my list if we were going to include those of the technological nature.
Yeah.
The robots.
Yeah, I mean, he's sentient, so it's...
All right.
You know, I don't know. I kind of felt like he was more of a creature than he was just a like a standard robot.
No, you guys are good. Do your thing.
But, I mean, as a kid, again, he was... Big eyes, right? You get that.
Yeah.
But He was just super easy to connect with. He wanted to learn everything. He was cute and he was funny and, you know, I don't know. He had all these sayings that worked really well, and it was just one of my favorite 80s movies, and he is awesome. And I wish to this day that I would have a life-size Johnny Five, because he's really cool.
Well, you kind of do, since John goes by that.
And that's true.
I would just go for, like, a nice model at this
point. One of the ones that they had in the second one that was, like, a little toy of him.
Yeah, like, I don't, like, at least that would be something.
I think if I was going to get a full-size one, then I would want it to be the 2 version with, like, the spikes and the spike bandolier and the mohawk. Yeah.
Oh, man. I never even...
the Los Locos version.
Definitely one of my favorite movies growing up as a kid, and I never had a single toy. I don't even remember seeing
toys. They didn't really make toys of them, I don't think. I'm sure they existed, but...
So it's a waste. Like, that would have been so cool to have that.
They had them as toys in the movie. Like,
right.
Yeah. I'm sure there was some licensing deal where they couldn't do it or something. I don't know. But yeah, probably. It's definitely one of my favorites.
In chat, they're saying that NECA should make some. I agree. I think NECA would make a great one. Right? Yeah, it's probably would. One of their higher quality action figures. Mm-hmm. Ray?
I'm going to do something a little more recent. And I'm going with Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon.
I had that on my list, too. That's cute. Thanks to my girlfriend, because she loves Toothless.
He is absolutely adorable. I am super... like, I want that pet.
I've only seen the first one, but he was very cute in the first one. And even in the previews for this newest one, where he's, like, doing the mating dance for the girl. Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Oh, that is straight up Derek and I's relationship. Like, I am Toothless. He's the creeped out Light Fury.
But we make it work.
That tracks.
We make it work.
I mean, they made it work in there.
Did they?
Yeah.
Spoilers,
yeah.
Yeah, and they have babies. The movie's been out for a year, guys, okay? Like,
I didn't get a chance to see it.
Yeah, me either. Rude.
Build-A-Bear actually ruined it for me, because they were like, now in stock, and they have the babies. I'm like, damn it.
Bummer.
But they all look like little Dalmatian dragons. It's adorable. All right. Derek?
Okay, so just to kind of support Ryan here a little bit, I'm going to pick one off my list that was a little more robot-y, and it's the Fixits from Batteries Not Included, the little flying robot dudes.
I don't really remember them, to be honest with you.
Again, not like an amazing film, but I loved it as a kid, and they're the cutest little robots. It was like if Close Encounters was cute, because Close Encounters isn't cute, right? It's like a cute version of Close Encounters in a way. And they're just these cool little robots. They were different shapes, and they'd fly around. And if those were toys, I would have them with my Johnny Five, and they would have gone on so many adventures. And it's sad, but they were wonderful.
The adventures young Derek could have had.
I know, right?
He was robbed of a good childhood.
I know. That's what I'm hearing, too.
I had to make do with all my Ninja Turtles and Star Trek action figures, G.I. Joe,
not
Hot
as
Wheels,
cute,
Transformers, you know.
All the ones that Dan didn't break.
Look, I still never got a Megazord, and that still bothers me. So
we got a Funko Pop Megazord, okay?
It's not close enough.
Same. It's not the same.
It transforms.
I will never compete with his nostalgia.
Nope.
Ryan, what's your next one?
I'm going to go with... I know Derek doesn't love dogs on this list, but Lockjaw from Inhumans. The show was not good.
Nope.
But Lockjaw was by far, even in the trailer, like the standout. And in the show, they didn't have the budget to support his CG very much. But when he was in it, he was great. He was super cute, huge. If you haven't seen it, he's like basically a huge bulldog that can teleport anywhere. And yeah, he's great. And they made him get injured in like the first episode so that they didn't have to do CG on him, and they had an excuse for him to be like,
well, that's why they cut Medusa's hair.
Yes,
so they didn't have to do her CGI anymore.
Yeah. But Lockjaw was great, and not great enough to watch the show for, but
ouch.
But if you happen to watch the show, he was definitely the highlight and the cutest part.
It does sound cute.
He's cute in the comic books too. I mean, just all around. He's a cute character, but
Yeah, I agree.
It's the only place he's been on screen, so.
True. Okay, so let's see here. This may be controversial, because I know a lot of people hate them, but I'm going to go with Porgs.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, those little guys are so cute. I got my little Porg stuffed animal, and I love that they were a creation, because they couldn't move the puffins, so
that's
they
a cool
had
story.
To incorporate them into the movie somehow. and we got Porgs. And yes, The Last Jedi was filled with too much of them, but...
Chewie ate one.
Yeah.
Well, that was the best part.
He cooked one anyway.
It was really cool because, like, that's how it is. Like, animals eat animals. Like, stuff happens. But,
well, yeah. So you think they're cuter than the Ewoks?
Yes.
Do you think they're cuter than our little Baby Yoda friend?
No.
Okay. I'm
Baby Yoda tops the Porgs.
We haven't talked about Baby Yoda yet, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I was asking.
Used a slot on their list for him.
No. No. Okay. All right. So next up then on my list, I'm going to go with an animated one. And that's Stitch from Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, he's cute.
Never seen it.
That movie's actually really fun. It's a very different kind of Disney movie. It even has a slightly darker edge to it than a lot of the Disney animated stuff. But Stitch is such a crazy, out there, fun character that, I mean, it's something you clearly, at least especially back then, could not have done live action and had it work. Maybe today with the way CGI has advanced you could do it now, but back then it had to be animated and it's wonderful. And if you haven't seen Lilo and Stitch, I actually think it's one of the better Disney animated films, so I like it.
Cute.
So Stitch.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Stitch is adorable.
Okay, well, I'm going to stick on the dog bandwagon because apparently all I think is cute is dogs.
Is it the weirdo alien from Evolution?
No, but it could be.
The cast of Homeward Bound. No. Better be on your list.
Crypto from Titans because, aww, listen, when he jumps up and grabs a missile in midair and redirects it back at the person that shot it, I literally stood up and cheered because that was the coolest thing. And he's underused, but he's a really cool character. In the comics, he's awesome. And, you know, the idea of it being basically a Kryptonian dog is really cool. Mm-hmm. And I think it's executed well, where a lot of things aren't in that show. But Crypto is executed very well, I think. Maybe worth the price of admission.
Maybe. Maybe.
All right.
All right, I'm going to go for a classic. I'm going to say Ludo from Labyrinth.
Okay.
He's my favorite character.
Not the Fire Gang?
No, not the Fire Gang, not Sir Didymus, not Hoggle.
Like characters not that even remove their body parts?
Not even the aloe worm. No.
The aloe worm is pretty close up there for me. Is, yeah. Ludo, but...
Have a nice cup of tea. No, Ludo's great. I love big, hairy things.
She's looking at me for those at home.
Ludo
he is hairy,
so
if you haven't seen him.
Kind and helpful, and I constantly replay his lines in my head, especially the smell bad.
That was a pretty good impression.
That just happened.
Thank you.
That's our clip for...
It might be. I'm just going to mark that down.
Yeah, Ludo's great. I mean, really, you can pick a lot of the characters from Labyrinth, and they're great.
You could pick, like, all the goblins.
The
they
goblins,
are
even though they're weird looking.
The worm.
The worm
yeah,
is cool.
The yellow worm is.
The yellow worm.
You know, if the Fire Gang, if they weren't taking their own heads off, we were pretty cute. But, you know, there was a lot in that movie that was cute. So, yeah. I mean, Ludo was probably the cutest.
Honestly,
and Sir Didymus was great, too.
Right? Yeah. Honestly, there wasn't a ton of individual characters or creatures, but every single one of them made their mark.
Yeah. Yeah. And you remember them. I mean, even if you absolutely don't remember their names, you definitely remember the characters.
Yeah. The hands,
whether they
the
scarred
knockers,
you,
the,
or whether,
the
you
talking
know
walls. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. The door knockers, you know.
The hands were like the scariest thing in the movie for me. And I still, to this day, don't understand why she chose down.
Who
chooses down?
They have those hand walls on display at the, or at least they did, puppetry, Center for Puppetry Arts in Atlanta. I got to see them.
That's
in real life. Really, it was
really
cool. Neat. It's just as creepy in real life.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Stuff of nightmares.
Yeah, for sure.
Your turn, Derek.
Well, so that was our five. That was five right there.
Yeah.
Normally we just do five. Or we want to do
Derek
more?
Wants to end
why
the podcast
we have
early,
we can do more.
Time.
Okay. Like, well, let's keep going then. All right. So I'm going to throw one out there. I don't even know if it had a name. Okay. But it's from Men in Black, the first one. It's the little alien squid baby that
I love the
Jay
squid
delivers
baby
on the side of the road at
big
the highway. Kid. Yeah, yeah, totally. But like, it was just
tentacles and baby puke.
Yes, but it was incredible and adorable. The special effects back then were just amazing, mm-hmm, and it looked fantastic. And yeah, part of what made Men in Black special.
Just slimy enough to believe it just came out of an alien vagina.
Just slimy enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
I'm waiting to see how you finish this.
No.
You started something, now you have to finish it.
No, I'm good. I'm just going to drop it, guys. I don't owe you anything.
I thought we were about to get a new cliff.
No. Okay. One's enough, guys. Come on. Your turn, Ryan.
Whoa, what was that attitude? My God. Harry from Harry and the Hendersons.
Great.
Like, not necessarily traditionally cute, but no, through his personality that develops throughout the movie, he was a lovable character and, yeah, memorable, you know.
No, that's wonderful.
Yeah, he was fun to watch. Everything he did on screen was just great. Yeah.
I'm going to do a little plug. Kaiju Curry House, which is one of our sibling shows on the Heroes Podcast Network, did a full in-depth discussion on that movie a few months back.
That's funny.
So.
Is he a kaiju?
Yes, he is a strange beast. So there you go. They use the more loose definition of strange beasts, so they can cover things like Bigfoot and Loch Ness and even like Tremors, things like that.
Otherwise, they'd only have two episodes.
Pacific Rim and Pacific Rim 2.
Well, you get all the Godzilla movies, the whole Toho collection, you know. But
four episodes.
There's a lot of the Toho.
It's a joke, it's a joke, it's
the Toho verse. All right, Ray.
Can't take a joke.
All right, so there are a lot of cute little things in Harry Potter, but I think the cutest one for me was in the first Fantastic Beasts movie, the Niffler.
I have him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I loved that little greedy bastard, and he was just so cute and fun. The Bow Truckle was a close second. I really liked him.
Which one's
that one? That was the little stick, the leaf stick thing that he kept on him at all times. And he sold to that Ron Perlman character for some reason.
Yeah, that was weird.
Right?
That was sad.
I hope Fantastic we don't review Beast the next one.
No, we're not going to.
Okay.
I hope I don't have to see the next one.
But Fantastic Beast has a lot of really cool stuff in the background. I love that Kelpie water horse thing that he rides. But the Niffler
that
was
the
just
best
great.
Part. I think when we reviewed both of the movies, the best part we all agreed was the different creatures. And nothing else in the movie was really worth a crap.
Yeah. It was the Fantastic Beast part.
Exactly.
That was
the
actually
big
good.
Chinese lion dragon at the beginning of the second one is so cool. Mm-hmm. And the weird psychic cats at the end. Like, they have such great creatures. And it's just, you know, the movie's about Grindelwald. It's not about any of the creatures anymore.
Unfortunately, so,
yeah, the Niffler.
Awesome. Okay, so next up on my list then is the minor children creatures from Galaxy Quest.
Oh my. Those were not cute.
But they were cute. That was the whole point, is that they were cute and it lures them in. And then when they think they got you, all the teeth come out. And they're adorable at first.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, if you really sit down and think about the Tribbles, they're not so cute because they'll eat everything and kill all of you and destroy your ship. Okay. But they look really cute. And the miners in Galaxy Quest look really cute until they're about to eat you.
That's fair.
So they're cute and they're on my list.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. I'm going to say Slimer from Ghostbusters. Not necessarily like traditionally cute. Probably if I'm going to go for pure cuteness, the real Ghostbusters version is probably the better choice.
You mean the high C version?
Yeah, the high C, the Ecto Cooler version. But
there's somebody out there that saw Ghostbusters and was like, hey, look, it's the high C guy. There's somebody.
That hurts me. And just like the Michelin Man is apparently the same thing as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man because they're both white.
When I was a kid, I thought they were the same because we didn't have Stay Puft Marshmallows, so I thought they were the same.
Okay, that's sad. I'm sorry for you. Your childhood is getting worse and worse as this goes on.
It's just different than yours, right?
The Michelin tire people are the same people that give out Michelin stars to restaurants and nobody questions it. Okay.
I wonder if they do it in exchange for free tires.
Or food.
Or food, yeah. But no, even the live-action Slimer is kind of... I mean, he has his own appeal. He has a butt, which is weird. A lot of people don't really notice that, but like he had a butt in the original sculpt that they used in the movie. There's like
a clear crack
and cheeks. I mean, he's really... You thought that halftime show had a lot of booty. Slimer. Slimer would give them both a run for their money.
That's hilarious.
So... Yeah, Slimer.
All right. I got to do it, guys. I got to go Fizz Gigs.
How have we not talked about Fizz Gigs?
I know,
yet?
Right? Okay, so Dark Crystal and the Dark Crystal show, Age of Resistance, has there's only one Fizz Gig in the first movie, but in the show there's a couple of them, and so you know that Fizz Gig is not a name, it's a
species. Yeah,
oh wow.
That was something.
You kind of sounded like Sean Connery.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, they're basically rolling balls of fluff, and they have
and teeth.
Like 8 layers of teeth, and
they're a tribble with a mouth.
Yeah, and they scream, and one's got an eye patch. It's a whole thing.
Why does he have an eye patch?
I want to know
who
that
made
story.
That eye patch for I want, him.
If they're gonna do a prequel, that's the one I
want
to see.
You want the Fizz Gig tales?
Lena Headey's character made him his eye patch after he sacrificed himself in battle for her, or something like that.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
I hope that that's the case. That.
They had a really like intense master pet relationship, and
that's true.
He really was dedicated to her.
It's just a weird,
yeah,
thing. But yeah,
I don't know.
That would be a good prequel. Make it an animated one. That would be even better.
If my dog went after somebody and
you'd
lost
her
eye,
patch.
Yeah, I would take care of her. I would make sure
you
that
wouldn't
she's
just
good.
Buy her a dog eye patch.
I mean, I'm a cosplayer. It's the least I could do for her. But no, the Fizz Gigs are fantastic. They have emotion, unlike Tribbles.
Yeah, and while we're on Dark Crystal, we should probably, you know, give a shout out to the old Lance Striders too.
Yes,
you know, not cute for not everybody's definition of cute.
No, they're a little creepy.
But you know, they're still pretty. I think they're cute.
They're
cute.
The Gelflings are adorable.
Yeah. The Podlings are adorable.
But I put them as like,
you don't like the Podlings?
I like I like Hop. I like Hup a lot.
That's disappointing. I don't know. I love.
You're
the
sleeping
Podlings.
On the couch tonight, Derek. That's my direction for you.
I have never had that much control in our relationship.
No, but I'm telling you right now, I'm giving you that level of control. You're doing it.
And then, of course, I really like Lore. Lore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lore was cool.
Lore was adorable.
Lore's a new addition from the Netflix mm-hmm. show, if you haven't watched it. A giant
yeah.
stone creature. They did a really good job having it show emotion and things like that, despite not having like any kind of a face.
Yeah,
really.
That's true.
So yeah, okay. I agree. Dark Crystal has some good characters, similar to Labyrinth. Like,
yeah.
there's
yeah.
a lot of characters that qualify.
All right, this is probably our last round. So
last round,
yeah.
All
right.
Round. So then I'm just gonna pick. So I had one puppet on my list. He's a Muppet.
It's really difficult to not choose the entire Jim Henson run.
It
know?
Is really hard. So I limited myself to one, and it's Gonzo, because Gonzo's Aww. Always been my favorite. I love Gonzo. I think he's fantastic, and I also think he's adorable. So Gonzo is my last pick.
All right. So do you have another one? Because I feel like we should all say our cutest Muppet and our cutest Sesame Street character.
Do I have another? Okay,
yeah,
so for,
like another entry. Like, okay, so what?
Okay,
who do you think is your cutest Sesame Street character?
From Sesame Street,
yeah.
I mean, Grover.
Okay,
I think would probably be my first. Because Oscar is always my favorite, but he certainly I don't know he's really cute. So I think I gotta go with Grover.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah,
and do you have
something else from my list yeah. aside from the, like if we're going those two? Okay, so if we're gonna do those two, then I think I'm gonna go with I'm just gonna throw it out there, and it's Baby Yoda.
Yeah,
right. Baby Yoda is pretty amazingly adorable, and you know, very front and center in the Mandalorian. So
it's actually really impressive that they were able to create a puppet that had so much emotion, as well as not overuse him to the point where he became like a gimmick. Like, he stayed a good part of the show for the entire time without being overused or just straight up, you know, this is only here for merch, which
right.
I feel is a problem
yeah,
with Star
I don't
Wars
think they
sometimes.
Made him for just merch. I never felt like yeah. that. Like, obviously it's a plus, but
if yeah. they did, if that was what that was, there would have been toys for this holiday season.
Yeah. yeah.
Right. But they wanted to keep it a surprise more than sell the toys. Mm-hmm. So.
Which is not like The Last Jedi. The Last Jedi was basically a Pokemon movie.
It's true.
All right, Ryan, so I guess who's your the cutest Muppet, cutest Sesame Street character, and then the one more that you had on your list?
The cutest Muppet. I'm probably Kermit. I'm just going to go out there and Kermit. Kermit's always been a classic for me since he was Jim Henson, essentially, as a Muppet.
Yeah.
And then Sesame Street character, it's going to be Oscar the Grouch, of course.
I love Oscar.
I mean, is he cute? Maybe not traditionally, but neither are Lance Riders from Dark Crystal. That doesn't mean I can't find him cute. And, you know, I obviously identify with him in a few different ways. But the only one I actually have left on my list that we haven't talked about is Baby Groot.
Oh, wow.
Guardians of the Galaxy
too. Yeah.
Baby Groot.
Yeah. I mean, he was more possibly to sell merch specifically, yes. But he was still very cute. And ever, you know, that one bit at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy set him up. You know, people were mad that there was no merch out, and then Disney had to rush a bunch of merch out for that holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you guys remember that. And, you know, when the second movie came out, it kind of became distracting.
Right.
I don't know. There were reasons that he should have grown up and then he hadn't yet and whatever. But yeah.
Well, that's why the two movies take place like 2 months apart.
The scene with the bomb is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a classic scene.
Yeah. It's my favorite Baby Groot moment.
Yeah. That's a good one.
All right, Ray.
Okay. So, favorite or cutest Muppet, I would have to say Rolf. He's a puppy.
Yeah.
And I love that most of the time he's like this serious or kind of laid back musician. And then every once in a while he remembers he's a dog and he has dog tendencies. So, and then favorite Sesame Street character is Big Bird. Ever since I was a little kid, I've loved Big Bird. And when Carol Spinney died, that was really tough for me. But I loved him. And then lastly, the cutest thing I've seen and the creature that I most want to befriend is Appa from Avatar, The Last Airbender.
I was disappointed we had time for this. I didn't think we were, I thought we had to cut it off.
No,
early.
No.
I thought it was odd that you hadn't picked him really early on, so.
Appa is a six-legged flying bison who can control the air around him. And he has a cute little arrow pattern on his face, and he
everybody has an arrow pattern on their face in that show.
Two people.
It's only the
those are the only
tribes.
Two things I know from that show. So
two
clearly,
it's so weird.
You'd actually like the show.
I probably would. Very good. I have no reason why I haven't watched it. No good reason.
So yeah, Appa's wonderful. He has dog-like mannerisms and. He's just a really good friend. The saddest episode, I think, is Appa's Lost Days. In season two, he gets split from the gang, and it's incredibly heartbreaking. All right.
So on that lovely note. So that's it. Those are our favorite creatures on screen.
Cutest
creatures on screen. Sorry.
Favorite,
no, you're right. You're right. Cutest. So I guess let us know what some of yours are. You can hit us up at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter. Of course. And next week we will be reviewing Birds of Prey, the new DC film starring Margot Robbie and several other people. I'm not going to go down the list, but because it's got a good cast.
It does, yeah.
Ryan, how can people find you?
Oh my gosh.
On the internet.
I'm going to make them talk.
They can find me on the internet.
It's true. All
right, fine. Ray, go ahead.
Okay.
Do your thing, Rachel. This is what we hired you for.
Ryan's at Buster Props. Derek is at the Star Trek Dude. I am at Siren Ray. The Heroes Podcast can be found at heroespodcast.com, including Screen Heroes themselves at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter. And, of course, we have a Patreon. Now we have a new tier where you can get ad-free episodes of each show on the same day that the ad filled episodes are released. So
sometimes even a little early.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Check that out. Help us going. Got cool stuff coming up, panels at Planet Comic Con. So
woo!
Join us. We're out. We'll see you next week.